And in the name of the Father, and His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A bright sun stunned the disciples as they strolled out from the majestic temple onto the bleached limestone. They walked by hand-chiseled, giant stone blocks, 8 feet on a side, walking maybe 2 or 3 paces as they passed each stone. As they watched hundreds of people milling in the courtyards, patios, outside the temple, the stones were big. The stones and the delicate gorgeous temple made you gasp as the holiest place in all Israel. The disciples must have been in a state of awe, all marveling at the grandeur. So you can imagine the disciples' dismay when Jesus asked, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." All thrown down? Really? Who invited that apocalyptic Jesus? All will be thrown down. What happened to "come to me, you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? So buckle your seats, good people of God, because Advent is around the corner and apocalyptic Jesus is at the wheel. But who does he think he is, talking about the temple's demise when he's actually there? Can we identify with the disciples' frustration? We love our houses, our cars and clothes, our health, our wealth. They make us feel safe, these things. We'd rather not hear that moths destroy and rust consumes, that our possessions are temporary, like mist. We don't want to lose them. We have this dark fear, as eventually we will die. We go back to God with nothing. Everything we build on earth will stay, but we'll be gone. Mortality is a scary thing, and talk of the end makes most of us fidget. But after all, most of the Gospels came from messianic apocalyptic Jews who spent their days waiting for the end. That's why our upcoming Advent readings are full of end times. Prognostication of our end times. We expected the end to be soon, and were anxious to know when. For example, the Essene community, who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, moved as far away from civilization as possible, living in caves by the Dead Sea, asking how they could live in the present when they didn't know the future. Sharon and I saw the cave entrances when on a bus driving along the Dead Sea toward King Herod's mountaintop retreat. As Jesus forecast the temple's destruction, the disciples also wonder this. How do we live in the present when we do not know tomorrow? The gospel writers must have agreed in the temple story's importance, as Matthew and Mark tell similar stories, and John alludes to the temple's forthcoming destruction. As Matthew and Mark tell it, the disciples must have been nervous. They catch Jesus at lunch break, sitting at the Mount of Olives. They stare at the temple, probably munching on bread and olives. Peter, Andrew, James, and John ask, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all this is about to happen?" Jesus was not helpful. He tells them, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. They must take place." Thanks, Jesus. We ask you when, and you tell us bad things will happen. How do we live today when we do not know tomorrow? Come on, Jesus, we have to make plans. A disturbing reading, but perhaps it's unwise to release Jesus' tension. That's not what church is for, by the way. Easy answers make for good bumper stickers, but real life is much more complex. So So in place of an easy answer, consider what Jesus does offer us. The profound truth that God is still in charge. God calls us to love with radical abandon. That's not a dream, it's an order. We never know about tomorrow, but we know that God calls us to love neighbor as self, to work actively toward a just society and a loving community. We partner with God, giving all that we have. Sunday morning is just the start, just the beginning. Jesus tried to start a revolution where the last are first, the sick get healed, the poor are blessed, and we are all beloved children of God. Jesus tried to start a revolution, but it depends in part on us. Are we in? When we consider our gospel as part of Luke's big picture, Jesus drops this temple bomb as he leaves for Jerusalem. All will be thrown down, he says, perhaps also referencing his own death. And it was so. The Roman army plundered Jerusalem in 70 AD. About 40 years later, soldiers would pillage the temple, murder women, murder children, and destroy everything that Israel held dear. Yet, death never gets the last word. Jerusalem is later rebuilt. Jesus dies on the cross, but that's just Friday. Sunday rolls around and resurrection strolls out of the empty tomb. God is still in charge. But remember, Jesus doesn't promise us easy living. He didn't say that the temple remains, that we avoid death, or that all pain goes away. But Jesus promises that God is with us to the end of the age. He is still in charge. We can trust God when we can no longer trust anything else. What do we do when we don't know tomorrow? Well, we can try to figure out what God is up to in the world and can seek, humbly, to get on board with his projects. Not a simple answer, but we just have to try. Martin Luther adopted this posture when asked what he'd do if he thought the end was tomorrow. His advice? Plant a tree. In other words, invest hopefully in the future. Have you ever prayed in times of uncertainty? For example, when the birth pangs are too early or too late, when out-of-work parents are waiting for a job application response, when applying for college, when waiting the results of medical tests. In a time of uncertainty, while waiting, consider the poetic beauty of today's reading from Isaiah. Well, actually, Isaiah was writing to a people who knew what it meant to lose their temple in the Old Testament days. So God says, "See, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former thing shall not be remembered or come to mind. So be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating." Unquote. So again, how do we live today? When we don't know tomorrow, we draw strength from God, who invites us to participate with him and who endures long after our cities, our buildings, and our stones have crumbled. We don't ask just for what God can do for us. He calls us to bring his kingdom just a bit closer. We love neighbor as self. If we strive for just societies and a stable planet, new heavens and new earth, we pray without ceasing and we trust in a mighty God from whom all blessings flow. This is the revolutionary good news of Jesus Christ. Are we in? Are we in? Amen.